For those of you that don't know, or do know, then you'll have to listen to this sentence anyway. I'm just going to annoy you by giving you two more sentences to listen to first. I have recently moved to Oxford within the last 2 months, and before that I was at Nottingham. So I've seen, within those two institutions and with my work previously with OER projects, I've been on an OER Phase 1 project and an OER Phase 2 project. So that may make me quite unique, because I suppose, Pete, you've probably been on both as well. And I've also dealt with a lot of stuff to do with Mozilla and the Drumbeat projects, and a lot of external projects as well to do with open source and other communities. So I've some experience, not to gild my own too much, in terms of sustainability and seeing what institutions have done in terms of keeping projects sustainable. So, for example, at Nottingham, we had our original UK OER 1 project, which was Berlin, and we also had Expert, which wasn't an OER project, ironically, at the beginning, but sort of became one. And what happened at the end of our UK OER 1 project was that Nottingham took the decision for 1 year to fund one person to be the OER person for the university. And effectively that became the Open Nottingham strategy, which you may have heard of. But that gives one person the responsibility for the iTunes U site, the YouTube Edu site, all of the OER. And they also act as a champion and a sort of a single point of contact for all of the OER process. So some of the time they'll go out to schools and subject and departments to talk about those situations with people, to advise them, to give them information, and sometimes they'll just deal with people on a day-to-day basis in terms of things like copyright clearance and advise on OER and things like cataloguing. And that's a sort of a distinct role and a distinct process that those people have. And in terms of sustainability, it very much is sort of the idea of these three young cygnets going off to become swans and taking the swan as the management term of that. On the surface, the swan is very graceful, but underneath the water, it's paddling furiously to get anything done. There's no hissing analogy that transfers, I think, other than they do like free bread, which perhaps that's an open source argument for swans and breads. So there's lots of stuff within that in terms of roles, in terms of people that you've already got. And for those of us that won't necessarily have that funding available to us or don't necessarily have those people in place, then logically what you can do is empower, but empower through stealth. And this may be to look at people that are already doing things, look at roles that already exist. For example, there are people that are already sort of aware of these things. You may have e-learning people, e-learning champions. You may have web administrators in schools. People that are kind of involved in the conversations anyway. And about getting people the information that's out there and simple things. So, for example, email signatures. Putting links in the email signatures to, you know, ask about OER or something like that. Or have it that there is people that you mention it every now and then in passing, or you say to people at the end of conversations. So, for example, I've had a conversation this week with one of the blogs at LSE regarding their material, and I was saying, oh, I know a fair bit about OER in terms of how you can get things out there. I can make you some material available. And you notice we've started to record this. So straight away, look at things that are there that people can do. So as Professor Smith, Dr. Smith mentioned first thing this morning, it's an iPod and a microphone, and then it's basically saying, I've got this content, what can I do with it? Now, you might not have an audio repository or an OER repository that can use. The podcast may not suit that well into WordPress or something like that, but it could be something as simple as putting that into a video format with a couple of slides and sticking that into YouTube and making that available. And in terms of impact and sustainability, the word impact has become a very sort of governmental word at the moment. And you've got things within that about how that will increase people's reputation. There's one person at Nottingham called Professor Polyakov, who's famous for his periodic table videos, who now gets more hits on his YouTube channel than Chelsea. So his reputation in his press coverage and the capital that that's attached to, it's because he looks a bit like Professor Emmett Brown from Back to the Future, really. But it's also because of the high educational content of his videos. And that's given him a lot of personal capital in terms of the success that he's had. And other departments have now gone, hang on, this is getting a little bit, you know, we want one of these too. So you can imagine that, you know, at the meetings of heads of school or heads of departments, the head of chemistry has gone, yes, our YouTube channel's had over 3 million hits. And the head of physics went, YouTube channel? And then they've had to go off and someone in physics has made their channel. And that's spread around the university really well. And it's been really successful. And you can see that through basic things, which may be as simple as giving somebody a camera, you can get that information out there. Again, with the empowering, going back to harmony. So look at something like the University of Michigan, which achieved a lot of their success with using libraries. And what they've done is to effectively bring the librarian role, which is about categories and categorisation and the wider reading, and use that to drive sort of change and bring OER into the curriculum and other such things. So, for example, at Nottingham, we've started to add reading lists and course books, or they've started to add that into their OER. And you think a reading list or a list of links is as valid a piece of OER as a big interaction. If every first-year English department in the university shared all of its reading books or recommended books, that would be a real resource for someone that was looking to buy books or looking to see what was available for them as information. Also within libraries, there's the economy of scale, that you've often within university libraries got the same issues. Information on referencing, information on how to use Athens, information on where you can get journals from, information on where you can use e-books. And you find straight away that that kind of material is transferable, just not just to one library, but often between multiple libraries at the university, but also across multiple universities. For example, at Nottingham, again, one of our main impacts was with a statistics piece of e-learning that we produced. And it became apparent that when we were developing it, that a lot of other departments had the same problem with statistics. A lot of taught master's programmes were transferring in students who didn't have as much experience with statistics. So what started off originally as one academic working with one person in the Nottingham e-learning team soon became seven academics working with three developers, and that then became available as an OER and is one of our most popular OERs. So straight away within that, you can see the idea that there's an economy of scale. You can develop one thing and it can be repurposed or it can be reused, and then it can be shared. So what we've got for you today, I was hoping to recruit a beautiful assistant, but I have some paper at the front. And what we're thinking we can do is, originally we were going to say you can make posters, but we felt that effectively we were thinking, not necessarily just posters now, because if you aren't aware, the UK OER 3 bids came through yesterday, or the announcement of it came through yesterday. So we're thinking in terms of some of the ideas that you've seen here and you've seen this morning, a chance to get up, maybe go and walk for more coffee or work off some of that caffeine, and think about a poster that you might want to put on your door, a poster that you might want to put on a conference, an article you might want to put into the student magazine or the staff magazine, something you might like to present at a school learning meeting or something like that, maybe an article you'd put into a local newspaper about some of the materials that you've made. We get a lot of success with the OUCS News covering Open Spires, and we've also got prominent features within the university's own news releases. Maybe it could be the preparation of a bid. Maybe it could be sort of a five things that you would do poster for OER to give to somebody else, five things that you could do. Maybe it's as simple as a sign that you put on your door and it says, I'm interested in working on e-learning to do with the following thing. And then anyone who walks past your door, who maybe is for some reason doesn't want to talk to you, could see that thing and think, oh yeah, I'm interested in that too. So a way of networking. So literally new ways of sort of sharing and taking sustainability back through the sort of the images that you've seen into, so rather than necessarily thinking of sustainability and there being the distinct effort of sustainability, that it becomes something that's naturally sustainable. So something that in the kind of the sustainable development world, that's something that becomes part of the culture. And rather than necessarily having to exact the cultural change via stealth bombers, we can do it in more subtler and more delicate ways. We don't actually have a stealth bomber nearby.